Ready? I'd like to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting back to order. The time is 1:11. We do have a quorum now. We should go ahead and do another roll call, please.
Congresswoman Pratt?
Here.
Congressman Bickhorst? Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here. All right. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Y'all join me in the prayer of our Father, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. The minutes are from December 17th, 2018.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed say no.
Stay.
One abstention. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is payables. It is in our packet. This payable is to the computer guy for computer services rendered. Congressman Potts.
Motion to approve the payable to the computer guy in the amount of $1,268.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Motion passes. Dan, I will give this to you. Next item on the agenda.
Question.
Congressman Potts.
Do you have the Citibank payable? Where is that? Is that because of the change in date? Okay. Changing the card, changing the date.
Next item. Sorry?
I believe the dates of the credit cards will end up staying close to the same, but
okay, next item on the agenda. OFPR. Office of Financial Performance, Fiscal and Performance Review. This has been on, I'd like to just start by saying this has been on many of our agendas. Too many to count, but it has been on our agenda several times in the past. This is the first meeting this year. Again, once again, we are discussing the OFPR, and as committee chair, I know by law we are required from the legislative branch to have this office, and I familiarized myself by going back to the beginning stages of OFPR, which in essence is somewhat of a government oversight committee that oversees the tribal dollars. We have a compliance office in the nation that monitors and oversees federal dollars that come into the nation. And we have in the past had an office from the legislative branch that has monitored the tribal dollars. And so I familiarized myself, and we go back to the second special session of the first legislature in 2007. Congressman William Cuggy Supernaw developed the act to provide for the establishment of the Osage Nation. At the time, he called it an internal audit department in order to provide an independent and objective consulting and review service for the Osage Nation operations, making an appropriation to establish the department and declaring an emergency. So this was done back in 2007 by former Congressman Supernaw. If you read through this, a joint audit committee consisting of three members shall be established, consisting of two members of Congress and the assistant chief. And then it goes on further to the declaration of the policy and what it was supposed to accomplish. The purpose of the Osage Nation Internal Audit Department was to provide an independent and objective consulting and review service designed to add value and improve the Osage Nation operations. And there were a number of declarations of the policy. The Section 3 Establishment of Internal Audit Department. So there were a lot of things that went into Congressman Supernaw and his initial bill that was vetoed by then Chief of the Nation, Chief Gray. And Chief Gray, and I have his executive veto message, he agreed with the need to establish an independent internal auditing department within the executive branch, not the legislative branch, but the executive branch of government, with members of Congress sitting in the directing audit committee. However, the bill violates Article 5, Section 2 of the Osage Nation Constitution. The serious nature of the flaw prevents me from signing this bill as presented. He said, let me be clear, I believe members of Congress directing staff within the executive branch is a violation of the separation of powers. And then he goes on to cite the Constitution, where the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government shall be separate and distinct. No person or collection of persons charged with official duties under one of these branches shall exercise any power properly vested in either of the others except as expressly provided in the Osage Nation Constitution. So that was his reasoning for the veto. Went back to the Congress I'm not sure the date, but it came back and it was overridden by the Congress. And so Chief Gray's statement of veto that declared it a violation of the Constitution was overridden by the Congress at the time, and so I believe there was also an impending lawsuit that developed with the waiting the official opinion, I believe, from the Attorney General. And in the meantime, there were some amendments to the original OFPR that came out September 25th. The original was, 2007. And then September 25th, former Congresswoman Rivard and Congressman Shackelford made the amendment to basically what they did is they changed it from naming it the Internal Audit Committee, and they changed it to the Office of OFPR. That is my understanding of their amendment, September 25th, 2007. In the meantime, the pending lawsuit from Chief Gray and his administration were still in the process of being determined by the Attorney General. Furthermore, we had another amendment in April 9th of 2007. that was sponsored by William Cuggy Supernaw, co-sponsor Congresswoman Edwards, amending ONCA 70-06 to establish a procedure for selecting the congressional members of the audit committee, declaring an emergency and establishing an effective date. And they went through amending Section 1 from the original bill from Congressman Supernaw. I have that in front of me, changed some of the wording. A joint audit committee of three members shall be established consisting of 2 members of Congress elected by a majority vote of the members, 1 office at a time via secret ballot during each HUNCA session. So that was the meat of that amendment. And again, Chief Gray, April 15, 2007, vetoed for the separation of powers issues that he discussed in his first veto. So he was still vetoing it because of those violations of him and the separations of powers. And again, it was overridden by Congress. So we proceeded forward. Congressman at the time, Red Corn, made another amendment, April 1, 2009, to amend the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review Bill, ONCA 70-06, as amended, and to establish an alternate effective date. Furthermore, the last amendment that was passed by the Congress, again, this was later in 2014. So if you'll notice, the last amendment in 2009, then we go approximately almost 5 years before then Congressman Supernaw made an act to amend the bill, and it was to establish penalties for violation of the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review Law, and to establish an alternate effective date. And I'd like to read the penalty that passed by vote of the Congress at the time. And in the meantime, before I read the penalty that Congressman Supernaw passed, in the meantime, administration's changed, and I believe it was then Chief Redigal that took office and dismissed the case. And Congressman Mason, you were here at that time, if that is accurate in your recollection, just if you can acknowledge if that was what, if you recall, when Chief Redigal took office and dismissed the case against Congress with the AG's opinion of the violation of separation of powers.
Yeah, I
concur. From his veto. Yes, sir. Thank you. So then we have an OFPR law, and the last amendment came from Congressman Supernaw to establish penalties for violations. And the penalty reads, any person who fails to comply or a person who directs another not to comply with a request for production of documents or a request for access to records or property by the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review in the administration of its duties and authorization of subsection 1-207 of this subchapter shall be subject to a criminal fine of not more than $5,000 or by imprisonment in the tribal jail of not more than 1 year, or both shall also be subject to a civil fine of not more than $5,000. So that was former Congressman Supernaw's amendment to the penalty, September 12, 2014. I believe the last report that we had from the Office of OFPR, Dana, do you have that? I believe it's included in our packets. And it came, the last review that we had this came from the director at the time, who I believe Mr. Kelly Corbin. And it was a report to the Congress December, is that the date, the last one we had? December 31st, 2016. So that was the last actual report we had from the office to the Congress. I included it in the packets that you have today. And if you look through here, and I know time has gone by since the last report or any report that we've had from the Office of OFPR, you're saying that quarter report to the Congress, March 30, 2017. That is the last report that we have from the Office of OFPR. But regardless of what we have, you can look at the report and find it very comprehensive. There's a lot of good information in here. I'm at a point now to where we have an amendment to the law by Congressman Supernaw in 2014. We have passed that as a Congress, and we have a report here from Mr. Corbin's office, OFPR, the director, Mr. Corbin's office, OFPR, with some reports of possible violations or possible infractions, but nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever considered, established, to my knowledge, that was done to uphold a law by Congress that is clearly active within our laws, but has been inactive because that office has been closed now for, I'm trying to remember, it's been closed for approximately a year, but has been really unfunctional or unreporting for probably a couple of years, is what I'm thinking. So, however, our job as a committee, the Osage Congressional Affairs Committee, is meeting here today, and once again, as I stated previously, that we have met numerous times talking about what's the step next to get back in the good graces of the law of the nation and establish the office of OFPR. And another thing that, you know, after the last amendment was made by Congressman Supernaw, and we still have a report from him with possible findings, and then those findings or violations are now under the law with the amendments that have been established. So, I believe we need to discuss what the next step should be, unless there is something the committee would like to discuss with regards to OFPR, and I will turn this time to Congressman Mason.
Okay, thank you very much. I reflect back in 2006 and those first formative years of this government, as well as the Congress. I had the pleasure and distinct honor to sit as a speaker of the Congress at that time. In our beginnings, the Congress, we were defining our role as Congress, and one of them was to consider our oversight capabilities. The word oversight many times was interesting to the various many definitions that were out there. The Attorney General's office was just beginning, and we were, as Congress, wanting to know how can we best look over, if you will, the nation's money and expenditures, performance reports, etc. Because we deemed that this was part of the role of Congress, was to exercise our congressional duties to oversee these kinds of things. We come up with this, Mr. Supernaw and his committee, discuss how do we best do that. In the beginning, said, well, we'll have this committee of some of us and some of the executive, and we'll look these things over. Of course, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, it wasn't right. There was a disagreement, and over a period of time, we ended up with going to court because we wanted to see and exercise our court system and the role of the Attorney General. And just again, we were all learning how this all works and what role we had as Congress and able to exercise this oversight. OFPR came about, and Mr. Corbin and others we had employed at the time. But because of the court thing, Mr. Corbin in the office was functional, but yet it wasn't reporting, as you said. He wasn't able to, he opened up the door and was able to go to work and get some information, but it just wasn't available to him because we were still under the rules of the courts. And then later on, it was dismissed, if you will, or determined that, yeah, we can have OFPR, and yes, our congressional OFPR reports to us in Congress. So that employee, and I'll say Mr. Corbin, could report back to us with his, quote, findings. And that's what they were exactly, findings, because we didn't have the power to, and we understood that. We don't carry a ticket book around saying we're going to give you a ticket for a violation. We just identify it and let somebody, perhaps an executive or somebody who was going that role, that there was a flag, there was an area of concern. please take care of it, and we'll come back to make sure that it's done. I think when we established those fines and penalties, that was another issue that came about, because I think we have some limitations on the, through the courts and the way we're set up now as to the amount of money we can actually impose the courts as a fine, or the time that one spends in our Osage Tribal Jail, which doesn't exist, but, you know, there's some things that still needs to be, policy. So yes, we did start out in a rough sense, and we had people employed, but yet they weren't able to do what we wanted them to do for a period of months. And now we have the entity itself is established, and we got some paperwork and laws and created, but we don't have any personnel. So that's kind of went round to this particular committee, and I'm glad to sit on this committee once again and look at that, but we need to get determine what it is, and we need somebody in there to do that, and where are they going to work, and, you know, get them back on board to do this thing. Now, the government itself, as I have observed, you know, since 2006, this new Congress, the new executive, and all of the people that have come and gone, you know, the government itself has grown, if you will, and some things have been what used to be unanswered questions and issues perhaps have since been resolved, or there's been departments and people to do certain things. And we are, by law, we have the OFPR, and we have budget set aside, we have anybody in there. So we've got money sitting in there to pay for somebody to come and operate this for us, because that entity and those persons respond, they respond back to us. And what do we need of them? What kind of person? What is that department that we now request? This particular Congress, this committee and this Congress. And Speaker Pratt is, address her as Speaker Pratt. She knows too how we can receive those kinds of reports. What do we do with them, et cetera. And a lot of that is going back to where we are. I just wanted to express that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Congressman Mason. Committee, anyone else comments? Okay, seeing none. I did email you all a link, and also today we printed it out. It's for your review. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at that. But it is the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review, how to establish an Office of Fiscal and Performance Review. And it is hereby established within the Congress to conduct various types of audits and to provide a systematic and objective examination and independent assessment of the performance and financial condition of the divisions, departments, programs, boards, commissions, bureaus, and any other public entities of the Osage Nation. The declaration of the policy, the purpose of the office, again, providing the independent and objective consulting. But if you'll go on and look at the staff, and I think that's probably where we should start. If we're going to start developing an office of OFPR, the staff may include a senior internal auditor. Senior internal auditor. Two staff auditors and a secretary. So that looks and appears to me to be a staff of four. All auditors employed by the nation shall hold, and it says here in the law, a bachelor's degree in accounting, business administration, or other related disciplines. In addition, the majority of the staff may have advanced degrees or professional certifications. So by the law, from my understanding and what it reads here, that it starts with the senior internal auditor, which I believe was Mr. Corbin's, that was the job that he held as director of the office. I think it was a director / senior internal auditor. And so we have discussed this in previous, like I said, the previous CA committee meetings over and over and over again of what should we do? Should we start with the senior internal auditor? Should we adjust his job description? Shall we adjust his job qualifications? But it appears to me that it's here in law that states that the senior internal auditor
should and shall hold bachelor's degree in accounting. So if that's the area that we need to start to develop the office, and I've asked the budget analyst to see if she has a number that we have set aside in the budget for this office for this year. And I don't know, Megan, if you've had a chance to. $206,000. That's from today going forward. Thank you. So that would be the monies appropriated, and I'm not sure if it was Congressman Potts that did that, and that motion, and it was passed. But that's where I believe we can start with the amount of money. But then you have to also look at, okay, we have a senior internal auditor, and we put out a job posting, a job description. It really beats, to me, it beats where we've been. And as some of us refer to this as, well, we're just going to kick the can down the road a little bit longer. But this is a law, and I believe it needs to be addressed. And I hope in this meeting that we can have a motion that will establish us moving in the direction of fulfilling the law in the beginning or the renewed rebirth of the Office OFPR. Congresswoman Pratt.
So, yeah, I agree with your last statement that I hope there is a motion, because this is like deja vu, and it's flip-flop every single meeting. And we've been talking for 25 minutes now on what I think where we are. I think everybody understands what the office is, what it's the beginning of it, but where we are is the discussion has come up. Are we going to hire? Are we going to advertise and hire? Some want to, like, okay, let's amend the law. There's been a bill filed, and then we're going to rewrite the job description. I mean, so I think they're. And I think one meeting it was that way. We were moving forward, and then I missed the meeting, came back the next meeting, it was like, okay, never mind, hold off on everything. And then now, so I wish those things, and that's why I was asking Congressman Potts, I wish there had been a motion so there would be some sort of clear direction, because this is completely all over the place. So I think that we need to move on right now with what is the first step? What are we going to go ahead and hire? And then work on amending the law in this next session, but advertising right now while we're doing that, or what? But I agree, everyone needs to review the job descriptions if they would like to make any changes before we do that. But that needs to happen quickly, but move forward with hiring, because I don't think there's any question of whether this should be happening. I mean, I think we just had a meeting today on why the executive branch hasn't hired a personnel right now, and we're sitting here in the same boat. So I just think that we do need to quickly make a decision, and yes, it needs to be by motion so that we have a record of what was actually said, because this is a lot of deja vu going on for like months now.
Thank you, Congresswoman Pratt. Other members of the committee, any comments? And I agree with Congresswoman Pratt to the point that where we had the discussions of, well, I know one of the discussions was to go ahead and put out, and I've asked for the committee to review job descriptions and get back to me with any comments, recommendations, suggestions. And we do currently have a job description that is in place. And we've had the discussion of, okay, let's put the job description, the posting out for the director, or as it says here, the senior internal auditor. Let's go ahead and put that out and have them also help us build the office as they would have recommendations and input as well. So I do know we talked about that, and then let him be the one that looks for his staff, his auditors, and his secretary, or he or she, whoever that person may be. But I looked at the job description. We can go tear into it, look at it. That's another couple of sessions worth of discussion. I do believe that we have been sitting here talking about this, and I'm ready for somebody to move with this, to be able to put out a request for through the HR department, a request to fill some of these positions. So Having said that, anyone else on the committee? Congressman Mason.
Yes, I can concur with what you said in respect to Congresswoman Pratt. And I'm one that believes that I think we need to staff up. We need to get people employed. The one thing that I want to make sure that we're all comfortable with is that if we, not if, but when we do ask that job be fulfilled and we have candidates to come in, I would think the candidate wants to, where's my office? What's my equipment? That kind of thing that goes along with it. And perhaps that's already there somewhere in all of the paperwork that we have. I've done all of the reading and so forth along with this. So I'm kind of rambling, but yes, I do think we need to move on this and get that key employee on board first. Like I said, I'm still, as a member of this committee, I do have a question is, where are we going to put this office? You know, personally, because we asked somebody to come work for us. I don't know. Thank you. That's all I need to say.
Thank you, Congressman. And I'm sorry, Congressman Staver.
Just a couple of comments, and I have not read the job descriptions, but I heard you all say that it's just an accounting degree is a requirement. Is that a minimum, so you're not willing to look at a CPA in this position instead of just an accounting degree?
Not had right? A CPA. Mr. Corman did not have a CPA.
I understand. Yeah. I understand that, but I just have that question. And then as far as space, we do have an office upstairs that would hold TV. And that, again, is my comment. I really can't understand an office having to be that large.
Okay.
I think hiring the key person, the first person is, with the intention that they are the auditor. Should they come into a time where they need some additional help, yes. But like I said, I think most of our programs are in control. We just have a lot of things that have never been looked at before, such as the LLCs and getting stuff today. And so I really don't know that I can see work for four people.
Thank
Those
you.
Are my comments.
Thank you, Congresswoman Staver. Congressman Potts.
I would agree, and I don't think that today's meeting is set to determine the size of the office, where they're going to be. I think those questions need to be filled later. As Congressman Tillman stated, my goal in changing the budget for fiscal year 19 was to get the office back on its feet. The $209,000 you referenced is enough money for one position, and I believe there was money for contract support costs to assist the Congress with any needs that may arise, whether we want to outsource auditing for a time being while we rewrite the law. It's clear that the law needs work. It hasn't been working for us. So whether that individual, the senior internal auditor, hires out other individual, I don't know. That's to be determined. But we need somebody to be staffing that office to guide that discussion with us. So at this point, if the chair will entertain it, I'd like to make a motion for a 5-minute recess to get the job description in front of us and make any changes right now to the senior internal auditor position, and let's get it put out for hire today.
There's a motion on the floor.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Yes. Any opposed say no. And recess for 5 minutes.
Job description, isn't that in our rules?
It is.
I'm going to print them real quick. Just got them from HSN.
Just